No, it's so good to be with you. If it's your very first Sunday here, a special welcome to you. We love that you're here. I'll be in the front lobby with some of our leaders afterwards. We'd love to hear your story and what brings you through our doors. I feel like there's still some stuff from worship to discuss. These are not in my notes, so you're going to have to give me an extra 2.5 minutes. There were some prophetic words that came in. Ironically, one was about people's jars being like hope that was halfway filled up, and the Lord wants to fill that up. This is not because of that word. This is in my sermon, so this will become relevant in about 15 minutes. But I just feel like the Lord wants to refresh and refill people today. I really feel that sense. I also feel there was a word that came in about the Lord being like a marksman, and that he has his sights on individuals here. I think sometimes, I used to work for an event organization that was really incredible. We worked with and ministered with churches, and it would be 10,000, 13,000 people in a space. And it's incredible to see a group of men and women coming together, gathering to make Jesus famous. And there's just this massive epic, let's bring our resources together, let's create something big and huge. And I think sometimes we think that the big and huge is for like a broad audience, not thinking that the Lord is willing to spend millions of dollars and to gather lots and lots of people, even if it's just to speak to one person. I think that there's someone here where he did all of this. He gathered together because he wants to speak to one person today. I'm hoping that he'll feed many of us. And yet I think the Lord came with an agenda where he's like, hey, I want to minister to the person who feels left out, who feels far gone, who needs a refilling today and a refreshing. So can I just pray for us one more time? And just I'm just asking with expectation. Lord, once again, you remind me that unless you move, nothing's gonna happen. It's not skill, it's not gifting, it's not charisma, it's not strategy. It is your spirit that changes the hearts and lives of people. And so Lord, I'm simply asking, would you do it again? I keep seeing a picture of the Lord being like a father who's on a street corner with fresh baked loaves of bread, and he's giving it out to any orphan that comes by and just needs a free meal. No compulsion, no manipulation, doesn't want anything in return, just wants to feed you. And today, Lord, I ask, would you feed us? Anybody who feels weary and dry, anybody who feels hungry and thirsty, Lord, would you fill them, whatever their condition? It doesn't, I think some people here might even go, hey, it's my fault that I'm in this condition. That doesn't matter. The Lord is not interested on the evil works that you've done. He's interested on the grace that he provides. And so, Lord, I pray that you would fill us today in Jesus' name. All right, with that, this is the official message now. This is really official. We've been in this season as a church. We just finished a series called Healthy Homes in March, and we had friends of ours, Peter and Karin Rasmussen, with us last week. And we're in between that time and Easter, and I have the opportunity just to preach what we call a one-off message. And I feel like this year, as I've shared with us already, there's this theme for 2025 for me personally, but I think it's for us corporately, around prayer. The Lord said to me, and I don't know if you're like me, I like to set resolutions and goals in the new year. And the Lord told me, like late part of 2024, he said, hey, Tyler, in 2025, I want to teach you how to pray. And I'm like, I really feel like we should have covered this by now because I'm about to become a pastor of a church. This is some pretty basic stuff. And I just felt like the Lord was giving an invitation of, I want to go deeper. I think that the God who is completely unchanging, he's the same yesterday and today and forever, we're the ones who's changing. And I think he wants to show us new depths of his love and his intimacy. And we've been on this journey about talking about different aspects of prayer. And today I want to talk about what it means to pause in his presence. I want to talk about pausing in the presence of the Lord. I keep coming back to this chapter and verse, Mark chapter 9. I believe it's in verse 39, perhaps. It's Jesus has his disciples come to him with a man and the man's son, and the son is demonically oppressed. And the disciples who were sent out by Jesus to heal the sick, to cast out the spirits, they go, hey, we tried. We did exactly what you told us to do, and it's not working. And so Jesus looks at this young boy who's demonically oppressed, and he speaks to the spirit, and the spirit leaves the boy, and he's brought to his right mind. And after the crowd leaves, and after the man leaves with his son, the disciples ask Jesus, why didn't it work for us? And Jesus, it's just fascinating and kind of provocative. Like, what does this mean? He goes, oh, that spirit only comes out with prayer and fasting. And we've been receiving a bunch of words as a community that Northlands is entering into a new season and a new territory. And I keep getting verses from some of you here and from other church communities about Joshua 1:6 and entering into new territory in a promised land. And I really do resonate with that. I think that's where we're going as a community. But if you know that story or if you're familiar with that story, they didn't just get the promised land for free. When they walked in, there was giants occupying it. And there was spiritual conflict. And I feel like the Lord is saying to us as a community and for you as an individual, hey, there's some things in 2025 you are not gonna be able to overcome with your charisma or your gifting or your strategy. And I know that there's moments where it's like, hey, if you just put in an extra 3 hours of overtime, you're gonna break through. And the Lord's going, there's some moments like that. 2025 is not gonna be filled with those moments. It's gonna be with the people who know how to come and to dwell in his presence. I don't know about you, if I could ask the question, how's your year going so far? We're now into April, we're past the New Year's resolutions, we're past where it's like everything's going well. It's about this time, right, that the wheels start coming off, or at least wobbling a little bit. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? If I asked you, how's your year going? I don't know if you are like me, but I'll just answer honestly, it's a mixed bag. Like there's some high, is that, everybody's like, yep, that's me, yeah, it's fine. We're gonna make it through, it's fine. We're almost to the end, we're not. There's still a lot of year to cover. But there's this sense of I can absolutely resonate with really good things happening in 2025, breathtaking things for the Hanel family that we've absolutely loved. And at the same time, I would also say there have been some really challenging giants as we've entered into new territory, some really challenging things that we face, some moments of exhaustion where we've needed to be sustained by the Spirit of God. And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure you're like me in this regard, that it's really easy to see God in the high points of life. Like when everything's going smooth, you're like, God is with us. Life couldn't get any better. What's really hard is to, has anybody ever done this when life happens and just like sideswipes you and you're like, God, what the heck are you doing? Like, where did that come from? Like if you had those moments where you're just like, things are running smoothly and then it's like, bam, somebody's like, you owe us money. And it's like, who? I don't know, they're just always after the money. They're like in the mailbox, bam. Or perhaps you're going through your life, things are running smoothly, it's picture perfect, and then boom, you just get told, hey, we're doing mass layoffs, we're losing jobs. Or perhaps it's, you don't see this one coming, relational betrayal. You're walking through life and all of a sudden, never thought it was gonna happen to you or that relationship and it's done. What do you do when life gives you that kind of experience, when life just absolutely sideswipes you? It's there in those moments where you struggle to go, I don't know what to do next. I feel like my entire equilibrium shot. I was on this course, I was on this path, and then something happened, whether it was your fault or somebody else's fault, and now I am lost and confused, and I'm not sure what to do. And perhaps your 2025 has not been the mixed bag. Perhaps your 2025 has been overwhelmingly life beating you like you stole something. You know what I'm talking about? Where it's like all of those things that I just described are happening to you right now. I think I find those moments so often, and you know what it feels like? It feels like life is moving a million miles an hour, and all you're asking for is like, would you just stop for 1 second? Now, I'm gonna ask a question, and in this question, I'm gonna know exactly the kind of person you are. So just, is this a trick question? It kind of. Do you want the bad news or the good news first? That's the question. And I'm gonna know exactly what kind of person you are. Bad news, see, you're like me, very scared, just like, just let's get it over with. Here's the bad news for where we are today. The bad news is life is always going to be filled with unexpected pain. That sideswipe feeling of like, I didn't see that coming and then bam, life hits you. That's life. In this world, that's always gonna happen. Life will consistently do the inconsistent things. I was going along, bam. Here's the good news. I also believe there's an invitation from you, from God, to follow Jesus. And if you say yes to following Jesus, he will always have his presence available to you. Your life will always be filled with unexpected pain, but you can always expect God's presence to be made readily available to you. I feel like prophetically there's people here today and it's like your eyes are completely closed because life has flipped you upside down and you're just trying not to get vertigo and you can't see what's gonna happen next. And I just feel like for us as a people, when it's this call to prayer and hey, 2025 is gonna be filled with moments where your strategy and your gifting is not going to be able to, the thing that fixes it. I feel like the word for us today is, hey, when you can't see where life is leading, we have to hear what God is saying. Peter Rasmussen gave us a word the early part of the year. I asked him, if you don't know Peter, he helps oversee multiple churches around the world. And I just asked him in one of our Zoom meetings, I said, hey, what's the Lord saying kind of broadly across the world? And very similar to us, he goes, there's this potential of positive hopefulness. There's a great potential in 2025, but there also seems to be this call that we have to be a church, Global Sea Church, that we have to be a church with heaven in our ears. When you can't see where life is leading, and honestly, that is life most of the time, you have to be able to hear what God is saying. That's why for us at Northlands, you hearing God's voice for yourself in your own life, we don't only believe that it's biblical and possible, we want to equip you to do it. Because if you don't have that, your life is going to be felt like a blind person wandering in the dark. And I keep thinking about that word in Isaiah. It says, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, hey, that's the way, go that way. And I think that that's where the Lord has many of us today. And so here's what I wanna do. I wanna take us to Psalm 91. Psalm 91, and I know pastors say this all the time about a passage where they go like, I think this is my favorite psalm. Here's why I think this is my favorite psalm. This is a psalm, I was homeschooled, and people are like, I could tell. No, I was, calm down. Homeschool is making a big comeback in a big way. We're awesome. I went the whole 15, 16 years in homeschool. All the grades. You're like, there's that many? Yeah, for us. slow and steady wins the race. Here we go. Psalm 91 was a psalm that my parents required all of their students in the student body and faculty of the school that I grew up in. Psalm 91 was a required memorizing. It became the psalm that centered us as a family. Just three things about this psalm as we read through it, three main things that you're gonna see. It's about God's presence, God's protection, and God's promises. It says it throughout the psalm. There's 16 verses that I want us to read today, and it literally is just walking through those again and again. What's interesting is there's a lack of clarity, or there's at least a conflict of who's the author of Psalm 91. Some believe it to be Moses, because Moses wrote Psalm 90, and when you read Psalm 90, which I'd encourage you to do as well, in Psalm 91, it feels like they are married together. They use a lot of the same language. When you think about Moses, he's the one who led people out of Egypt from slavery, and they saw the power of God break out against plague and pestilence, and there's a lot of metaphors in Psalm 91 that speak about those things, and so they go, oh, this is Moses speaking to a group of people in the wilderness who are lost. And again, with worship and today, hey, if you're here today and you feel lost, like life has just disoriented you, or perhaps you've been in a season, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. Perhaps you've been in a long season where you're like, I don't know where God is. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't even see a path. I'm in a wilderness season. Moses writes this psalm to a people who feel lost. And I think there's some people here today of going, hey, you need to hear what God is saying because you can't see where your life is leading. And some people believe that the author of Psalm 91 is David. And part of the reason for that is because David wrote many psalms, but it's got that poetry that David constantly leans on. There's these metaphors. Some of them are militant and military, and David was a man of war. And if you're here today and your life feels like you're just constantly going from one fray to the next fray to the next fray, do you ever feel like you just can't get a footing in life? You're just constantly in a conflict. You resolve one conflict, and then there's another fight that breaks out. David, if he is the author, he is writing to a people who are always in conflict. And so but this sounds bad as a pastor. I don't really care who wrote it. I do, I'm sure it's important. Bible, no. I go, whether it was Moses or David, we're speaking to a group of people who are either lost or people who are tired of fighting. And I think many of us, especially in April of this year, if the wheels are wobbling or you have a mixed bag like I do, you're needing a rest for the soul. And that's why I wanna read us Psalm 91. Because Psalm 91 is not for the person who has their life together. There's some people who believe, they're like, hey, I'll start going to the gym once I'm healthy. That doesn't make sense. You don't go when you're healthy, you go to get healthy. And some people think like, I'll come to God once I've cleaned my life up a little bit. The psalm is not for the person who has their life together. This psalm is for the person who doesn't have their life together and is needing a breath and is needing to pause. And I want to talk about the power of pausing today. And some of you might be here and you go, Tyler, I can't afford to pause and pray. My life is moving a million miles an hour. I'm trying to get it to stop. Your life is not going to stop. You know who it needs to stop? You.
Yeah, good.
Wow. I can't afford to pause. I don't think you can afford not to pause.
Yeah.
And so I want to read Psalm 91. I'm going to read it all the way through. And I want you to just hear this first line, because this is who he's speaking to. If you fit into this category, this is who it's for. Whoever dwells, whoever pauses, whoever abides, whoever takes the time to linger, not to the person who has their life together, not to the person who hasn't done evil this week, not to the person who's perfect, to anybody who would take a moment to dwell, to pause. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plagues that destroy at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, if you're here today and you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Now here's a promise from the Lord to the listener. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue Him. I will protect Him, for He acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and honor Him. With long life, I will satisfy Him, and I will show Him my salvation. Some of us here today, I would argue, because I'm speaking to a group of majority of Americans, some of us here today need to pause and slow down. And you go, Tyler, what will happen if I pause? I want to talk about three things that happen for the person, whoever decides to dwell. If I could get you to do one thing this week, it's not memorize a bunch of Bible, it's not pray a bunch. If I could just get you to stop, and as this psalm says, acknowledge His name, I think it would help you tremendously. And here's three things that I have found happens when people take the time to pause and rest in His presence. The first thing is this: when you decide to pause, He promises to refresh your soul. I have found this to be the case. I don't know. I'm back to using props now. Who? How about that? I have found this, that Jesus says that He came to give us life and life to the full. The baseline low-hanging fruit for Christianity is that your emotions and your soul would be filled to the brim, and that you operate from that. That's the baseline basics, that we would live like this. I have found that in the US, we live incredibly rushed and busy lives, and we are constantly living with a bucket like this when it comes to our emotions. We learn to live in the exhaustion. And the crazy thing is then we believe the lie that that's normal. That's just what you do here. That's not what Jesus preached. I think sometimes we think, if I just put in a little bit more overtime instead of dwelling, that's going to fix my problems. You know what I've found? I go, you can fix your problems and your bucket's still empty after you find the solution. What good is it is to have a life that has no problems, but you're living constantly exhausted? That's not living. It's not what Jesus died for. We said this about prayer. We said early on, as we've been talking about this for this last year, that prayer, successful prayer, prayer is not about a transaction. It's about a relationship. So often we reduce prayer down to intercession where it's like, I'm gonna come and I'm gonna ask God for something. You can totally do that. He's a generous father who wants to give out and pour out liberally to his children, to anybody who would call on his name. Love that. But you being successful at prayer isn't going, hey, did you get what you asked for? Prayer is a bridge of relationship, which means then successful prayer is not about an outcome, but about intimacy. And intimacy is where the bucket gets filled. I don't know about you, I have found that sometimes life can just smack you so hard that it zaps the entire bucket. It just depletes you all out. What I have found though, most people live with a bucket like this with a small hole at the bottom and there's just a steady stream of leaking out. Constantly, life is constantly draining on us and we just live like this continually. For the person who dwells and pauses in his presence, he fills the bucket. He refreshes the soul. I think it was a guy that I've referenced before, Cary Newhoff. He wrote a book called At Your Best. And oftentimes when I ask people about life in April of a year, I go, hey, how's life going? And they say, life is good. It's just, there it is, busy. How's life? It's good. I just need a vacation. And Cary Newhoff, it's a great line from his book. He just says, time off won't heal when the problem that you have is how you spend your time on. It's not that vacation can't help fill the bucket. It's that as soon as you get back to the life that you're leading and the pace that you're running, it's just gonna get back to this mid-level with that slow leak and drain. And then you walk around like this your whole life. I have come that you may have life and life to the full. Psalm 91, I just wanted to pull out some of the elements of Psalm 91. You'll see verse 4, verse 2, verse 1, verse 9. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High, what will happen? Will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. This is a picture, if you can imagine finding refuge from a storm or fortress against your enemy. I can breathe because my enemy is being pushed back by a wall of protection. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. That covering with your feathers, that is like a mother hen who will wrap her chicks in a wing so that they don't feel the weight of the storm that's hitting them. He is like a mother hen, a mother bird that wraps a wing around his children so that they can find a chance to rest. Verse 9, if you say the Lord is my refuge and you make him, the Most High, your dwelling, he becomes like a fortress and a refuge and a shield and a rampart. Some translations like a buckler. It's a double shield. It's a big shield and a smaller shield together. He wraps you. My question to you in this context before we move on is, are you able to govern your emotions well? And you're going, I don't know the answer to that. Are you snapping at your spouse or snapping at your kids or perhaps snapping at your employees, perhaps snapping at your parents? Are your emotions governed and in your control, or would the people around you closest say that you're out of control? If you show me somebody who is emotionally out of control, I will show you somebody who's emotionally depleted. This is the good news. This is good news. Why? Because it doesn't mean, because you're snapping, it doesn't mean that you're evil. It means that you're empty. If I come into his presence, I'll be filled. And you'll be amazed at how emotionally in control you'll become. I can't afford to stop. I think you can't afford not to. You'll be amazed at what can be accomplished if you just take time to rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 23, 1 to 3. I just want to give you just samplings of the Psalms. It speaks to the promise of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He refreshes my soul. Psalm 19, 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. The words of God, they refresh my soul. I can't see what life is doing. I don't need to. I can hear the perfect law, the perfect words of God, and they refresh the soul. I am like a deer. This is Psalm 42. I'm like the deer that pants for the stream of water. So my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God. If you're feeling thirsty today and you're feeling empty, if you thirst for him and take a moment to dwell, I promise you, you will be refreshed like a tall drink of water. If you're here today and you're not familiar with the Bible or God or spirituality, all of this is for Jesus, who is not just a good teacher or a prophet. We believe him to be the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus, like this psalm from the mysterious author, whether it's Moses or David, Jesus gives this same invitation to you, just like he did for this group of people. Jesus was speaking these words that we'll read in Matthew 11. He was speaking it to a group of people who were being brutally oppressed by the environment that they lived in. Their life was disorienting, flipping them upside down, abusive. And Jesus calls to them and says, come to me, all you who are weary. Whoever dwells, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I will teach you my ways. I'm gentle and humble. I'm not like the oppressors that you've experienced in this life. You come to me and you experience this yoke that I have, and you will find rest for your soul. For some of you here today, you're so tired and exhausted, and you're feeling like, man, my life is on empty. The kingdom of heaven is at hand for you. It doesn't want to take from you like the life does. All it wants to do is to fill you. Jesus goes, I came for one reason, for life and life to the full. Amen. The second thing for whoever dwells, I have found this, he resets our hearts. Do you mind if I just preach to myself for like 2 minutes? This is my point. This is like Tyler needs to have his heart reset on a regular basis. I kept hearing this word as I was preparing today's message and meditating on Psalm 91. I kept hearing this word, reverberation. If you could imagine with me us going into a big museum or a big cathedral. I don't know if you've ever walked into a big cathedral. I got a picture of one I want us to throw up just to put us in this imagery. If you and I walked into this space, and I wasn't wearing sneakers, but we were wearing some hard-soled shoes of some, I almost said high heels. I'm not wearing high heels in a cathedral. I'm not gonna do it. But let's say you're wearing high heels. We're walking into a cathedral. If you've walked into a space like this, can you hear the click-clack noise on the floor? You can hear it kind of echoing in there. Hannah Shackelford, I call her clip-clop because she's constantly wearing like boots and shoes. So when she's in the halls, I can hear her coming before she gets there. I do, here comes clip-clop. Let's say you and I, we walk down this aisle here, if you could picture this with me, and you're hearing that click-clack noise. And then you and I get to the center of this room, and we look at each other, and on the count of three, we clap, right? Should I do that participation thing? My wife hates this. She's like, don't make us participate. What if we all just counted on three, and we just all clapped at the same time? What would happen? All right, one, two, three. Woo! Now, pretend that we did that in there. What would happen? Can you hear that echoing noise? That's a reverberation. I have found that when it comes to this life, there are points of impact that we have in our life, and it creates a reverberation in our heart that we carry with us constantly. You're like, Ty, what are you talking about? You go to work, and your boss just like lays into you. Didn't see that coming. Just lays into you. Like, oh, I saw it coming. You don't know my boss. No, I'm just kidding. Point of contact. Now, when you leave work that day, does that point of contact, does that come with you or does it stay at your office? You take it home with you. That one comment that he said or she said, point of impact, and then it starts reverberating in you. I have found, especially in the world that we live in, people live like this constantly. Life constantly gives these points of contact, and they just reverberate on the inside of us, and they create a jitteriness in us, and we're constantly walking around with this level of anxiety and constantly in this fight or flight mode. And whoever dwells in the secret place of the Most High, I find that he resets our heart and settles the soul. In fact, I would argue that Jesus, when you come into this place, he creates another point of contact. This is for free. The verse, the Bible says that creation, it yearns for sons and daughters to be revealed. Those who are in the presence of the Most High, the Spirit of God brings impact. And it's like in the Old Testament where it says, oh, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And it comes on one of the judges or the kings, and they start operating with a frequency of heaven. And they're no longer moved by what's happening in their life or what's happening in the world and circumstances. They are being attuned to something completely and totally different. I think for some of us here, we are so anxious, constantly moving, constantly on edge, constantly ready for a fight or to flight. We're constantly, and some of us need to just come into his presence and let the lover of our soul calm us and create a new point of contact where the Spirit gives life to Spirit, and we're now operating by the frequency and the reverberations of heaven. We have to be a people with heaven in our ears, moving, not because circumstances are dictating it, but because the Spirit of God has anointed us and led us to. Does that make sense? Psalm 91. Here's just a few verses that we read. I just want to bring them out again. Surely he will save you. Think about this for a second. Settled heart. Surely he will save you from the fowler snare, from the deadly pestilence. Those sounds like things that would cause us to have anxiousness. Oh no, but he'll save us. You will not fear. You will not be anxious of what? If it's the terror of night or the arrow that flies in the day, you're not going to fear. 1,000 may fall at your side over here. Wars, rumors of wars, 10,000 at your right hand. It's not coming near you. Not because we're not going to experience unexpected pain, but because we're not moved by our pain. Yeah. We're moved by the power of the Spirit of God. Right. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. I feel like for some of us today, you need to walk with Jesus into a cathedral. You need to look him in the eye, and the two of you need to clap and create a new point of impact and allow the reverberations of heaven to be the thing that are stirring in your heart. We are not a people of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. I wanted to read Mark 4, 35, 41. Again, I'm thinking about people who might not be familiar with the Psalms and you're just trying to figure out who this Jesus person is. Here's an account of Jesus. And I want us to read it. Jesus is with his disciples and they've been ministering to people all day. And Jesus calls his disciples for a break. And that break is filled with anxiousness and wrestling and hardships and a very literal storm. I want you to read this. Verse 35, it says this. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. They were on the shore of a lake. And he, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. And a furious squall or a storm came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus, though, was at the stern in the back of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. Just again, context. This is not the Titanic where there's four levels and like you might be on the bottom level and not, oh, is there a storm? Do we hit an iceberg? No, this is a boat. He's in the exact same environment as his disciples. Water is filling this little boat and Jesus is asleep on a wet cushion while rain's hitting him in the face. And he's like, I just can't be bothered. I've had a hard day. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. I love to see the power of God break out. I believe that part of us is to be a people equipped to see the power of God in our lives, very real miracles, bodies being healed, storms being calmed. But we're being made in the image of Jesus, and Jesus is a mature son, and he was both a son of power, but also a son of peace. You have to know this. In that account, there's two miracles. One is the obvious one. Jesus goes to the storm, stop it, and it stops. That's an incredible miracle. The other miracle is Jesus is asleep during a hurricane type squall and the boat's about to sink and he's like, I'm good. Pretty miraculous. He's not just a son of power, but a son of peace. If you're a son of power and you have no peace, you're a dangerous son. What do I mean by that? James and John, Jesus, should we call fire and lightning down from heaven and kill all these people in the city? Because they talked mean to us. That's dangerous. Don't give that guy power. Let's just go nuclear. Boom. If you're a son of peace and no power, you're a weak son. Ephesians 4 calls us to be in the image and likeness of Jesus. And Jesus, it is miraculous that he had the power to calm the storm out here. But because he was the son of peace, he also had the ability to calm the storm in here. The reverberation in the heart, he was not moved even by a very literal storm. And some of you here, I believe that the Lord wants to break out in your life in incredible power. But you think that, hey, if I just got my problem solved, that the bucket would be filled. And if I just got my problem solved and I saw the demonstration of the power of God, my life would be good. I'm telling you, if you have the power, but you don't have peace, you're not gonna be as helpful as you think. And it's not gonna help you like you think. Yeah. For some of you, the word today is not peace be still in your circumstances. For some of you, it's peace be still in here. The third thing about this psalm and about those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High, he realigns our mind. I don't know who this is for, but I feel like I've been praying for this person all morning. And I don't know if it is like we've been talking about, that there might be a single person here who the Lord wants to do business with. But I have found that life, if there's one thing that it just does consistently well, it disorients incredibly well. There's just moments where I think I have life figured out and it just flips me on my head. Equilibrium is shot and I have no idea what to do. And you're like what I've been talking about. You can't see where life is leading and you're like, I need help. And I have found that the person who will pause and dwell, he will reorient, realign you in the direction that you ought to go. He'll realign your mind and your life how it ought to be. This is for free again. I'm sorry. I've got time though. Let's go. There's this idea that sailors used to use for sailing ships called using the North Star as a true north. They would look at the stars and you can find the North Star. That's consistently staying there. Some of you here have built your life with an inconsistent North Star. Either you are your own God and you think that you're going to navigate through the storms of life. And I'm telling you, we make crummy gods. I think you know that. Nobody lies to me like me. Like, I'm the best liar I know about my own life. Or some of you might be putting your hope in a government, or some of you might be putting your hope in your finances or your retirement or any type of security. And I'm telling you, if one thing that life knows how to do, it knows how to mess up all those things. Some of you, all you need to do is orient your life around something that is secure, unmoving, like a firm foundation that will always be in the exact place that you need it to be to hold you when it's dark and scary. Psalm 91, I just want to pull out some of those verses again. Verse 14, because he loves me, this is a promise from the Lord, because he loves me, those who reorient their life, my love for God, because he loves me, I will rescue him and I will protect him. I will protect him, why? Because he acknowledges me. He looks to me when things are scary. He's listening for my voice when he's not sure what to do, when she's not sure what to do. He will call on me, reorient, and I will answer him. I will satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation. God, for some of you, wants to show you, realign you, wants to show you a safe place with him. Jesus looked at a group of people like this once, and his observation of them with tears in his eyes was, he said, oh, they are like a harassed people. They are like harassed sheep without a shepherd. With great compassion, he was moved. In John 10, 27, he continued to put himself as a shepherd. He said, oh, but my sheep, they hear my voice. they know how to follow me when they are harassed and when they are scared. My prayer for many of you here today is I just want you to hear God's voice, perhaps for the very first time. Not to give you goosebumps all over your arms, but just simply that you would feel like for the first time you have a direction to move in. And it's a sure one that he's calling you to. His disciples, when they felt lost and confused because now they realize Jesus is going to go back to heaven and what are we supposed to do? We don't know how to get to the kingdom of God, which he's been talking about. And Jesus goes, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. We sung about that this morning. Reorient your life around the presence of God and he will refresh your soul. He will reset and settle your heart. He will realign, redirect, point you in the proper direction. All because you took a moment to pause in his presence. I know we're a little over time. I'm hoping this week that you will pause in his presence, but I wanna at least start your week with a moment right now. And all I'm gonna ask you to do is I'm not gonna ask you to think deeply about Psalm 91. All I want, I just go, are you empty? In this next moment, I'm gonna have the team come up and they're just gonna sing over us. If you're empty, it's my fault that I'm empty. It doesn't matter. He wants to fill you. That's all. For some of you here, you're so anxious. Be anxious for nothing. If you're anxious, go, Lord, would you settle my heart like only you can do? If you're here today and you feel like life has flipped you on your head and you're like, I don't know what to do after I leave here, Tyler. I go, I don't know either. Here's what I know you can do right now. Pause in his presence. Amen. Lord, I thank you for this moment, and we're not gonna rush, and we're not gonna be concerned about activities and deadlines that we have to deal with as soon as we leave here. We're not coming to you right now to go, Lord, I need you to fix these problems, because now we see, oh, it's not problems being resolved that will heal our hearts. It's the presence of God that heals our hearts. Lord, I ask supernaturally, like that picture you showed me before we started, would you just give warm, fresh bread to people right now? Those who are hungry, would you feed them? Holy Spirit, those who are thirsty, would you pour out your love and affection on them? And to the one who feels lost and too far gone, if you're here today and you feel like you're lost and too far gone, the word of the Lord to you is that you're not too far gone. He's calling you right now. As you're here in this moment, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he's giving you the invitation to do that right now. And I want you to take a moment and do business with him. And we'll close out our time coming back to you in that invitation before we leave today. But let's worship for a moment and just rest in his presence.